Welcome to the presentation of the year results for CIE Automotive. We have Lorea Aristizabal, Head of Corporate Development, that will do this presentation. At the end of the presentation, there will be a Q&A session. You've got to tape 01 in your mobile cell at any time to make a question. Now you have the floor, Lorea Aristizabal. Good afternoon and welcome to the third-term results of CIE Automotive. Well, to start with, I've got to underline the excellent performance of CIE in 2018 with road grades that are above market and high margins. And also with this very good performance in especially convulsed situation in the sector with continuous profit warnings of important players in the sector with negative impact of the new regulation with the threat of a war, of a custom duty war in some markets. So if you want, we're going to start by talking about the market. Let's analyze the situation of each and every market and the latest news we've got from our different geographies. So we start by the NAFTA market, where CII is growing organically by 8% in a market that dropped by 1.3% by September. So we are expecting to have a flat NAFTA market with about 17 million vehicles, with Mexico and the United States slightly positive with a plus 1% in Canada, dropping down to minus 7%. So the NAFTA estimates are more positive, with a growth in all the markets for a 1% and a special improvement of the production in Mexico. And of course, we'll have to underline in the NAFTA market the good news that comes from the near setting of an agreement in between United States, Mexico and Canada, an agreement that seems to be continuing with the previous situation, but without any doubt, sort of reinforces our combination of production and local suppliers. And if we talk about Europe, Europe was especially marked by the new emissions regulations that was changed in as of September the 1st. The new regulation, or worldwide harmonized light vehicles test procedure, means that we've got to change all configuration and versions of our vehicles, especially you have to do it in real driving situations, and that means a series of, for OEMs, a series of non-recurrent costs. So in July and August, we've seen some peaks in the sales and large discounts in the prices of not adapted to WLTP vehicles to sell all stocks. And also there were commissionings being done also for the upkeeping that is done in summertime. And this had an impact in the market. The first term was almost flat, second term was very strong with plus 4%, but then it dropped by minus 5% in the third term. So we understand, nevertheless, that the WLTP has only a temporary effect that will have an impact on the third and the fourth terms of the year, but also for the coming year. We hope we will retrieve our standard growth for a mature Europe, that is, for a mature market, that is Europe, that is of about 1 and 2%. This is a very complex market, and here we've got two CIA Europe with two very different situations. On the one hand, we have the ex-Mahindra CIE, and this is linked to passengers' vehicles, so directly exposed to the negative effect impact of WLTP. So what did CIE do in this market? Well, previously we've got to perform sales because the interruption of the biofuels during the third term in 2018 make data making possible to compare data from 2017 and 2018. So if we take Automotion's 2017 and 2018 in the ex-Mahindra CIE Europe, then we see that we did better than the market with a plus 2%. Second term was plus 4%, that is equal to the market, and the third term was minus 6%, that is equal to the market again. On the other hand, we've got the Mahindra CIE Europe, that is strongly linked to heavy commercial vehicles, that is not affected by the new regulation and with a high demand on behalf of our customers, and that means that we have a sustained double-digit growth during the first 9 months of Europe. So thanks to this diversification in Europe, this is diversification being exposed to different segments, that is passengers or commercial vehicles. That means that in overall Europe there is an important growth above market. And then we move on to Brazil. In Brazil, there is almost a 30% organic growth in a market that grew as of September by an 8%. So we expect a strong last term for 2018 that will boost production, and that means some 3 million vehicles. So the estimates for Brazil for coming years are also very positive. We followed the path of the recovery of the market that we lost during the downfall, the crisis. And we hope we're going to have in between some 8 and 9% growth every year. And without any doubt, Brazil will be one of the sources of joy for our company in the coming years. So if we move on to China, then we've got to say that in 2018 there were temporary elements that were slowing down the market. On the one hand, the trading war, the threat of commercial war with the states. On the other hand, we are trying to implement the restructuration of the incentives of the purchase of vehicles, and this might slowing down our sales. Anyhow, the forecast is a positive one. We hope to have a 3% increase every year, or even more than that in 2019, by recovering some volumes that were delayed, and also going beyond 30 million vehicles in 2021. So there is an organic growth of our company of 25% in a market that only grew 1.4 in the past, in September. So we remind you that the exposure of this company to China is still very reduced and is only centered in specific products for non-Chinese clients. If we talk about India, there is a 23% organic growth in a market that grew only 10% in September. This is a very solid market with all top players, Maruti Suzuki, Hyundai and Honda growing. We get very good news from this market, so we estimate more than 4.8 million vehicles are produced in the Indian market compared to 4.4 million in 2017, and we hope this will lead to a growth of more than 8%. So we hope we'll have more than 5 million in 2019, 6 million in 2022, and more than 8 million vehicles in 2025 that will turn India into the fourth world market after China, the States, and Japan. Same as we said for Brazil. I think we're going to get very good news in the coming years from India. And globally, talking about the global market, this is a market that grew up to an 0.8% as of September, and this means that our organic growth of 10% is even more important. And this is sort of shaking significantly the market and continuing with the trend to increment our market share. And if we think of the future, we have our estimates updated that talk about a growth rate of 2% every year, similar to the ones we had in the past, with almost all markets with positive figures, even though they have different speeds. some markets are experiencing a higher acceleration. And then if we talk about margins, we don't have very big headlines, but they are important ones. There is a 12% increase of EBITDA and an 18% growth of EBIT. That means an improvement of 140 basic points, and that is a 13.4 percentage of increase in relation to the sales. And then there was also a net income of a 20% growth in this term. That means 190 millions of euros, even though we had a negative impact of the different change rate that took place in all our geographies, and this has have a negative impact in the year results. And I say we should not finish this term without mentioning Intiva. In September 17th, we announced the largest integration ever with the new Bruva systems, and they account for $1 billion dollar sales with 16 sites, 6 R&D centers, and more than 4,400 workers. So this is a clear bet link to the world of comfort. And with this, we contribute to have a whole range or of products in what we call the roof systems or comfort systems. And we've been managing this new division and multiplied by 2 sales and improving significantly the results. Nevertheless, so far CIE was not a very important player in this niche of roof systems, where we have 3 main players that concentrate more than 80% of the market share. So with this integration, we turn into one of the 3 main suppliers of roof systems. We may grow our portfolio of products and our number of patents. We also diversified and increased our customers' portfolios with ACS rather focused in the French customers, and Intiva have also German, American, and Chinese clients, and also we sort of extend our presence in the world, reinforcing our growth in China. And I think the increase of this niche is of a 7 to 8% growth of expectation, or that's the forecast of growth for the coming year, with 3 main markets where the roof systems penetration is growing, it's on the grow, that is in the United States, in China, and Europe. These are roof systems that also have a high penetration in premium vehicles and also a growing one in middle-sized and economy vehicles. So to conclude, we've got to say that the transaction took place by handing over a binding bid negotiated with Intiva for an amount of $755 million, that is 650 million euros approximately. And we hope that everything will be settled by the first term of 2019. Also, we will have some consultation with the trade. We will have the formal acceptation of the bid, and also we will have the final contract being signed, and also we need to have the authorization from the competition authority, and also with execution of the carve-out of Intiva systems. And when we talk about our cash flow and our balance, we've got to say that the RONA is 22%. And when we talk about cash flow, we've got a conversion of 56% of EBITDA. That is in line with our target of 55%. So for activity of M&A, there are 62 million euros from previous terms. And when we talk about CapEx, we've got to talk some 7.2% above sales, and that is a growing or an expansion or expanding CapEx, that is 66 million euros. That accounts for 2.9% of sales, and this is necessary to sustain our high growth in the sales. So having said this, we have a net financial debt at the end of the term of 3 Qs, and that means a decrease in the debt of some 50 million during the last 12 months. This compared to the 995 million in automations as of September the 13th in 2017. That meant a rate of 2.16. That is, we're growing, and we're growing well above the market without any additional indebtedness or borrowing. This is thanks to the high level of generation of the group, of course. And we'd like to conclude. We'd like to close by underlying the good, excellent results of this term within a very complex macro environment and highly convulsed sectors. We've made once again proof of the strength and the resilience of our business model and our managerial model. And this is why we can high and clear confirm the totality of our strategic commitment. And now, without any further ado, we would like to start the Q&A.
Si desea realizar una pregunta, por favor marque 01 en el teclado de su teléfono. Para asegurar...
Please type 01 to make questions in yourself, and please try to use the landline to guarantee the quality of the service. So first question comes from JB Capital Market. Good afternoon, Lorea. Have three questions. First, what is the size of the biofuels? What is the margin and the capex this is consuming? And talking about growth, what is the growth for Mahindra FIA, that is Mahindra Europe, in the coming years, or at least for 2019, that will be very useful to know. And then, apart from Intiva, are you considering any other corporate operation, and if so, of what size? Thank you very much. Well, good afternoon, Ignacio. In relation to your first question, biofuels, that is the division that is with a turnover of more than 20 million euros, 26.5 last year exactly. And this division has an EBIT that is slightly positive and an EBIT that is almost nil. So the profitability is very different to that of the car industry or division. And within the context of this year where we've decided to separate the Dominion, then I think it was meaningless to get rid of this activity. And during the third term, we decided to stop this activity so we could really focus everything in the automotion activity. When talking about Mahindra in Europe, I think you were not asking about the traditional part of it, but about Europe, Mahindra Europe. Well, Mahindra Europe has sites very much focused on the commercial vehicles, more than the rest of the CIE company. And I've got to say that our sites are concentrated on a high amount of activity. And if you've not had the chance, I invite you to listen to the results conference of Mahindra SEA. They were mentioning this particular subject matter. They said how we still have a high activity in these sites in Europe. And this is good news, and we hope we can keep it in time. And then your third question, what after Intiva? Well, I think we cannot say, because it will not be true, that that's all, that we remain. I think we concentrate different activities, and we want to do so in the sector, but we have some limitations, and that is our balance. Our balance with Intiva is still a solid balance, and that is 2 times, that is our self-imposed limit, that is our comfort zone. And then we've got to see times, and we've got to see also what Intiva can produce to unlever some other acquisitions, maybe acquisitions away from Intesa, we've got to remind us the level of investments that we've been doing in the recent years. There are many sorts of SMEs or even family-run companies that are still of high interest to us, and this does not mean a high borrowing or it's not a big investment, but they're also within our in a pipeline. It is not about a big companies like Intesa in this world. So this is not the end of the M&A. This was an important operation, and I think this means a very big step forward, both in quality and quantity terms for CIE. Lorea, back to my second question. Well, Mahindra CIE Europe is doing well, but how much growth remains? What is the occupation rate for this division in your sites? Do you know how much you can grow in the coming years? Well, we're almost fully booked. You know, we never do 100%, but there's a high rate of use of this site. And if you are then going to ask me whether we need an additional capex, no, it's okay. We are feel at ease with the capex guidance that we have and with the forecasted investments to sort of stick to the level of sales that we sort of said we were going to do. Next question, Manuel Calle from CaixaBank PPI. Two questions about outlook for the fourth term. How do you see the business and everything that is going on in the sector? Do you think you're going to maintain or even increase your growth rate, especially when we talk about EBITDA? And finally, I would like to know whether there could be any price adjustments given the market new values. Well, I'd like to start by the second part of your question about Intesa. No, we are not expecting a price adjustments. And about forecast. Well, as you know, there is not any given guidance for 2018. But as you said, compared to how you've been doing in the third term, well, more than talking about EBITDA, well, there was a plus 12%. And I think we are more or less at the same level for the end of the year. I think we've got to underline the plus 20% of net income. And I think we can commit to that. Anyway, talking about this complex context, we should see this background as we see it also for 2019, how we see our future forecast or scenario. Well, I'm going to tell you how we see this internally. India, excellent market. We got there in time. We've done our homework. There is an organic growth every term, and we are increasing our market share. Structurally, we already have a P&L with two numbers. As no previous players have told us, India was a very hot place to play. Nobody wants anymore to go there because its reputation is of being a very hard, difficult country. But we are very resolute to be one of the top players in India, without any doubt. In fact, the additional participation acquisition that we did is shows clearly this commitment. Brazil, the financial downturn already removed many players from the map. We have some increase in our growth. We have a higher market share with a top player, very much acknowledged in Brazil. This is a country that has already to move back to the pre-crisis situation, but with a very high expectation of growth for the coming years. And then NAFTA. You always hear us talking about Mexico. We're very glad and happy with our assessment projects in Mexico. We also have projects in the state. In Newport, we've got a growth forecast. And this is big news in the midterm for the profitability and the sales of this project. So with these three markets, India, Brazil and NAFTA, with very good news, that means very good news for CIE and flat market in Europe, but also with the diversification for two segments, as was the case in 2018 for passengers and commercial cars. I think this is not a bad situation for the coming years. And if I'm talking about margins, I have got to say that the organic growth is wonderful, but this is a difficult, this is a very sharp or double-edged tool. You've got to pay attention to increase your operational margins. So with this I mean that we have for the year 2018 a very good forecast. So globally, CIE, there are some shadows of course, but also there are some very good news with since we're working in different places of the world. So this is the good news from this diversification model, and also we expect to keep on providing good news for the coming year. Okay, thank you very much, Lorea, for your feedback. Well, thank you very much. Next question coming from Alvaro Lence from Alhambra Equities. I have a quick question. There is a NAFTA margin reduction. Is this related to the steel price increase? Maybe this has no impact on the EBIT, but maybe on the margin it does. Well, Alvaro, I think I already answered this before you made your question, answering Manuel. I mentioned that in NAFTA we have important, very important projects we're developing not only in Mexico but also in the States. And I think I just said in my previous answer that maybe the term was slowed down in the margins due to industrialization or lack of efficiency linked to these previous ones. But nothing that you've not seen in the past. This happened already in some turns in the NAFTA market, and I think we're going to do better in the coming terms in the NAFTA market. This has nothing to do with the raw materials. This is linked to the evolution of our project. Thank you. Next question, Álvaro Aristegui from Ahorro Corporación. Lorea, I don't know if I understood you right. You said that growth doesn't go hand in hand with organic growth, that you have a growth of EBITDA of 100%. I don't know if that was clear. And also I'd like to know, how is the Renault Russia project doing? Since you were very enthusiastic about it some years ago and then we've not heard much about it. Alvaro, I'm not sure whether I understood well your question about NAFTA. Alvaro Lence asked about a specific term of the 3Q with a drop in margins in relation to previous terms. I don't know if I understand you right about growth. The growth in NAFTA was accumulated 8% so far this year. I don't know what else you meant beyond that. Sorry, yes, you didn't understand me right. I'm talking about consolidated growth. You said there was... You said that a high increase in sales is doesn't go hand in hand with good profitability. Sorry, I couldn't hear him, sorry. Yeah, I fully agree. What I mean is when there is a lower growth, then our margin and our improvement will be even higher. Thank you very much, because this sort of values additionally what we do. We improve our margins even when growing. But if we are going through a lower growth period, then we could rather focus on operational excellence, and then we still have a way to improve. So thank you, because this is really a very good assessment of what we do. And then about Russia, yes. I have data from September, so the size of the site is some 15 million, a bit less. It's been growing in the last years. You know, there was a downturn in the Russian market. They went through a depression in some 3 years ago, and for this year, data talk about Russia above 1.5 million vehicles. In 2017 it was only 1.4 million, and this year we're expecting 1.6 million and a constant increase coming years, 1.8, 2 and so on. So we're talking about Russia that little by little might sort of retrieve the situation they had previous to the crisis, where there was a volume of up to 2 million vehicles. So this is a good context for a site that is still developing. And with an additional advantage, which I have already mentioned, but I think it's of paramount importance here, I think the alliance of Renault is number one, is top of sales in Russia, and they're still increasing their market share. Yes, I agree, this man says you should get to 50 million sales on a first stage. So if that is the case, could you still reach that level? Well, I think you are mixing things up. Yes, there were three stages, and those 50 million you have in head was the addition of different stages. We are still on stage number one, and we do not define stages. They are defined by the OEM, that is what Autobus and Renault decide to do. What we are going to invest on stage two and then stage three. So there are going to be three stages for this project for the coming 10 years. But we're still on stage number one. Thank you very much, Alvaro. We remind you once again that if you want to make a question, you've got to type 01. If you want to make questions, please dial 01 in your cells, in your mobile phones. Alberto Carrasco for Tercio Capital. About the objectives for 2020, can you give us some hints about the use of the site you expect to have to be successful with your plan? You've been talking about India. What would be the impact if there is a 1% drop in the growth of the sector when talking about the use of these sites? Well, Alberto, everything is within the guidance that we provide you. Here there is a combination of the guidance that we provide, and then hand in hand there should be the present or current and estimated level of use of the site according to estimated sales and the projects we have in hand, and then we need one or other capex. So we cannot tell you now we need more capex to do the same as sales. That cannot happen, because the equation is already settled. So a certain amount of sales signed with our customer, according to the current situation of the sites that are different according to different geographical areas, and with the capex that we forecasted and for the strategic plan we mentioned a guidance of 7.5% of capex on sales. That is the full equation. There is no more capex needed, even though I mentioned and I told that to Ignacio, well, yes, here we in this 7.5, we took into account everything that we needed to be successful with our target. What might happen if there is a drop in the market? You talked about a 1% drop, I think. Well, we've got to say what market might be dropping, how much that will have an impact on us or not. You've got to have two things clear in mind. The internal budget of CIE and the managerial budget is always better than the ones we provide you, because we would like to have a margin of maneuver just in case something might happen. So if there is a shadow, something goes wrong, something happens in a country, in a market, as a client, all this is forecasted. And this does not mean we're not going to fulfill any longer our strategic targets. And then we've got to keep in mind the most important things. This is the most competitive and complex sector in the field, the car industry. I mean, different markets, different countries, different cycles, customers with good luck, with bad luck, product evolution, new trends. So within this context, what is really clear and evident to me is a local supplier. And if you have one only customer and one only product, of course they're going to have issues to survive. But precisely we are the opposite. That means that in a very conscious, I mean, we've done on purpose company that do not depend on one particular client. We have a large portfolio of products, and we evolve according to the evolution of the demand and the constant evolution of our market share in every country in the last years. As you see, term after term shows and proves that our model is working, especially in that very complex environment. And I guess the challenge will be to keep on proving it to you in the coming terms. We will make you should let results or figures talk for you. So from this point of view, I think we're well positioned, as we should, and of course there are always some shadows in the market, but that is not going to make us no longer fulfill our commitments. We are going to fulfill our commitments. Well, there are no more questions in Spanish, so now we'll move on to questions in English.
The first question in English comes from Alexander Valerdi from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, Laura, and thanks for taking my question. I have two, please. The first one is on Europe and in passenger cars. Some European suppliers talk about production in Europe being down by some 1% in Q4. What's your view on that? Do you expect a rebound? Do you think that WLTP was only a limited thing, or should we see another? Should we see the market down again in Europe in Q4? Follow up on this one: which visibility do you have on your contracts in average? The second question relates to China and Inteva, as I understand that Inteva has quite a strong exposure in the region. Could you please give us more color on the customer mix? Are they more exposed to local OEMs or to international ones? That's all for me. Thank you very much.
Alex, muy buenas tardes y gracias por tus preguntas.
Thank you very much, Alex. Thanks for your questions. I think you've mentioned, if we understood you right, that some players, some European OEMs talked about a drop in the fourth term of 1% approximately. I think this coincides with the data that we have on IHS. Well, October was not very bad. It's almost gone, and it was not a very bad month. But we still have November and December to come. December is usually a very short month. In fact, in the last term, so we have a few weeks to work, and December is usually a very short month then, and the OEMs might take advantage of this situation to readjust their stocks after this complex year. This drop of 1% that you've mentioned and that IHS also forecast for Europe, then we will be talking about a 2018 that will mean that Europe was a flat market, that is 22 million vehicles. So there was a first term that was quite weak, then a growth, high growth in the second, a high drop in the third one, and the fourth one that is also quite negative. So Europe is kind of flat for 2018 with peaks and valley periods. And then this might mean 22 million vehicles or maybe a bit more. That will mean a growth of 1% for the coming year. You've mentioned our contracts. Well, that's nothing new. They have not changed. The average estimated duration of our contract is some 7 years with our customers, and I say an average duration because when we're talking about components related to the exterior trim or interior trim, then we might be talking about shorter contracts because fashion changes and trend changes. But for the others, we should go for longer contracts. So the average duration is 7 years plus the previous period since we signed a contract up until the starting of the OSP of the project, and we start with the ramp up and all that. That is all the previous time that is related to investment, the first part, the buyout of the panels, and that, and so on and so forth. And this might go up to 20 or 24 months, and this you've got to add it to these additional 7 years. And then I think you also mentioned Inteva and its main customers and markets. Well, about markets, China is an important market for Inteva. It accounts for 60%, more than half of that billion dollar sales. Then the rest goes to NAFTA and Europe. And talking about customers, there's an interesting mix of customers that precisely we do not have in our group systems. We've got American customers like GM or Fiat. Then we've got German clients like Daimler or BMW, and then also Chinese customers like SAIC or Geely. So this is an interesting mix that really adds to our current and small roof systems divisions that we have. Well, thank you very much. There are no further questions for today's conference. I give back this floor to Lorea Aristizabal. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for being with us. We are available and willing and able to answer any of your questions. Thank you very much.